Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show, November 14th. Today is a Tuesday.
Good morning.
Right. I feel like a friggin' calendar sometimes, you know. I don't know why I timestamp the shows, but why not? You know, that way if you listen a few years later, you know exactly when this was said. Because we do talk about timely things once in a while. And we do have a guest today in the studio, so we're assured to have fun. When we have those telephone guests, man, they don't call in sometimes. I don't know what the hell's going on. This time, this was the second time, I said, I'm not even writing to them. Whatever happened, happened. I don't care. So, another beautiful day in Southern California. You're getting ready to go to Vegas. Is that going to be fun for you?
Yep. I'm going out for MJ BizCon, the marijuana convention, business convention. And then I'll have some spots at the... Some of the comedy stuff. Stand-up.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, bring back a lot of good news about the business.
Yes.
We hope. Somebody was talking about how the prices are going to go up next year, you know.
Probably. So, definitely prices are going to go up if you are recreational. That's
really? So it's not going to affect the medical, you don't think?
No. I think there's going to be a tax, or if there's not already a tax. Some of them tax, some of them don't already. It's weird.
And it's not just the tax, but the compliance also, you know, it just makes it also
probably
so much more
expensive. Right now, my friend is already in Vegas. He's like, bring weed. It's so expensive here. It's like, not a problem.
Oh, well, you know, what can you say? You know, if they need some supply, bring them some supply. I don't know. But they have it there so freely, right? But it's expensive.
It's expensive and it's not as...
Really?
Great.
I guess they can't grow it there. I wonder where they bring from, since you can't really transfer it from one state to the other, can you?
Seeds.
Seeds? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess indoors in Vegas would work just fine.
Yeah, no one grows outdoors in Vegas.
Right. Yeah, you couldn't if you wanted to. Maybe some cactus if you want, you know, but that's about all you can grow
Pretty
there.
Pretty much.
I know a lot of people get like desert front yards and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like landscaping
and
stuff.
It's cheaper to just embrace the natural scenery.
Yeah,
rather than
deal with the lawn and all that, and you're fighting the weather, really, you know? I remember the lawn. Well, they do get special lawn there, but it's still, you know, in the heat, not very good.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So... a few more things. I guess Washington's just abuzz with shit all over the place. I don't even know where to start, so let's just not start at all, okay? There's too much going on. Everybody's getting investigated, and no government is running now, pretty much. I mean, they're so friggin' busy with sexual abuse and lying and Russians and Asia and fuck, man.
It's terrible. I wish that guy would just step aside, the Senate guy. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing when you have people, like when you have Mitch McConnell, who's like, you should probably, you know, get out of town for a while.
Yeah, and Ryan and Session and everybody. Everybody's saying you got to leave. And I would be surprised if he stayed. I mean, why? You know, because it's not going to go away.
Well, the weird thing is the more allegations and people and women that come forward, the stronger his support becomes because he's a Christian.
Oh, so he gets supported because
they back him even more.
So they don't believe it. Who is they?
His supporters.
Okay. So I didn't hear anything about his supporters.
He went up like 10 points in the polls or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. But, you know, the thing is that there's... there's a problem that I just wanted to bring up before we get to our guest. And that is, did you know that they sell slaves in Libya now? They take some of these migrants, they capture them, and then they sell them. I mean, they're talking about like auctions, you know? And these people, those human beings that are being sold as merchandise, terrified. Mm-hmm. You know, terrified. I mean, can you imagine this if someone owned you?
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing.
I mean, that happened in this country.
I know. You don't have to remind us.
Not very long ago. I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah. I know. It's terrible.
Our country also enslaved people.
Yeah.
And the prison system is just basically legalized slavery.
Where, here?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, that they make them work and stuff?
It's just like...
What would you do with the prisoners? Just let them sit around all day?
Well, depending on what they're in prison for, some of them need mental health services. Some of them need
right, but let them carry some of their own weight. It's not a vacation, you know? So they need to work. They need to contribute and whatever, you know? So I don't think it's slavery. But at any rate, I mean, they give up their freedom. And there you go, you know. I can't imagine being in prison. It's the worst thing ever. And I'm reading a book now about a woman's prison. It's a Stephen King book. Mm-hmm. And all the women, like, they fall asleep and they can't wake up. And it's, like, happening in the whole world. Mm-hmm. So I'm just in the beginning. I don't know what else is happening. They're getting these cocoons growing on their faces.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stephen King will go anywhere with his stories, you know. But... yeah, so prison stories sometimes are cool, but as long as you look at them from the outside, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrible. All right, well, we're going to bring in our guest right now. And we always appreciate when the guests are early. So thank you for arriving. You got to get to the mic. You're sitting all the way in the other room.
He's chilling.
We're joined by Mr. Bill Parks. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. You're an actor. You're a musician. You do a lot of things.
I do.
That's awesome. Where did you grow up?
East Coast, Delaware, New York.
Oh, really?
What part of Delaware?
Wilmington, Delaware.
My best friend's from Wilmington.
Who's your best friend?
Her name's Angie Bloom.
I don't think I know her.
The Blooms, yeah.
Well, it's not like there's one street in there, right?
There's a great place called Elizabeth's, which is like a good pizza spot.
Like you
spot.
Hang out or
no,
something?
No, it's like a pizza spot there that's all decorated in like every famous Elizabeth, like Queen Elizabeth. Like Wilmington's kind of a cool place.
Yeah.
For
so
like
that's
a
pretty cool. So, but is it a small town?
It's tiny. It's like Delaware's Wilmington and like four other houses. So.
And I love Dewey. Mm.
Dewey Beach, yeah. So Wilmington is 20 minutes south of Philly. The only time I ever went to Dewey was for senior week. Mm. We would all go down there and graduate from high school.
Yeah. Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
I have a sister.
Okay, so you grew up... did you guys get along or anything?
Not as much when you were younger, but now we're
really
cool, yeah.
You see, that's interesting because like with me, it's the other way around. We were close when we were younger, and now we each went his own way. You know, the wives intervene and everything else. You know, you each go his own way. You know,
right.
But you're close now.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, growing up there, did you know early on what you wanted to do with your life? Like, let's say you were in high school. Did you already start planning your future?
Yeah, in high school I had started going up to New York to audition for commercials and stuff.
Oh, wow. Mm. Well, did your parents give you the idea, or how did that work
I
out?
My mom says that I was watching Home Alone, and she was like, I said, I think I want to do that. I could do that. And I guess that apparently that's what inspired me.
Wow, so you wanted to be an actor early on.
Yeah, it looked like fun.
Yeah, I know. But not everybody's got the confidence, you know. I mean, I remember I always wanted to be an actor, and then I thought, you know. And like we said, I might be able to be trained and stuff like that, but it's not something that I actually pursued because I didn't think I could make anything out of it.
Right.
But so what was your next step? You finished high school. What did you do then?
Then I went to Manhattan College in New York, and I figured, let me just go to school close to the city so I can keep auditioning.
Yeah.
And I did, and I missed a lot of classes and finally dropped out.
Really? Yeah. Now, how far is it from where you live to New York City?
That'd be about a two-hour drive, so my mom was very wonderful. She would drive me up for an audition for a two-hour drive. We'd go wait 30 minutes to go in.
For a five-minute, yeah.
two-minute audition, and then leave. We would try to go catch a theater show, buy like a standing room only ticket, and then weasel our way up front during the second half.
That's pretty cool. So, and then you went to school. So what did you study there?
I studied marketing because it was close to advertising and commercials that I was already doing. But
right. I know. I always loved advertising. You know, I wanted to get into that. And even that seemed sort of like too fun a job to pursue, right? So, but I've grown up with that. I went for marketing as well in college. And because you can't go wrong with that. Every business needs it, you know. Yeah. I mean, as an individual, you want to brand yourself. You want to market yourself. Especially in today's world, you know.
I have a master's in marketing.
Do you really? Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, excuse me. I don't have a master's yet. But I need to get one. Mm-hmm. I do need to get one. Did you move on to another or to another degree? Or did you move? You decided you're going to take on what you really liked.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad about it. I mean, I didn't either, you know. But because there's always time, you know. There's always time if people love school and stuff. But so did you, were you able to get a job in marketing after that? What happened?
No, I kind of, you know, I just continued with the acting and the music and.
Right. So you started like in commercials and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And were you getting anything beyond that at that point?
There wasn't a ton of television in New York at the time I was there. It was The Sopranos, and I'm a fair ginger.
So you didn't fit into the cast.
Was not getting an audition for that. And then what else? Sex in the City. I'm a tubby fair ginger, so also not getting an audition for Sex in the City. And other than that, there weren't many other shows. There was a show called Hope and Faith, and
that was with the blonde girl, Kelly Ripa?
Kelly Ripa, and what was the other girl?
The other blonde, pretty girl, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I was sitting in class at Manhattan College, which is up in the Bronx, actually, ironically. Mm-hmm. And I get a call from this guy. I guess I can't say his name, but he goes, I'll have to make up a name because you kind of have to say. Okay.
All right.
Hey! So let me back up a second here. So I was in New York. You can freelance. You don't have to be signed with an agent. So I had a manager, and my buddy. I was also doing some stand-up comedy, and my buddy had hooked me up with this agent at the time, who said he could get me out for some theatrical stuff. Even though I was like, all right, well, whatever. Yeah. So I went to his office. He had wood panel walls, black and white headshots of, like, you know, young Wayne's brothers and things. And there was a desk with no secretary at it. I walk in. I'm like, hello, is anybody there? He's like, who's that? I'm like, oh, hey, this is Bill Parks. My friend Danny told me to come over and come on in. And then I gave him my resume, and he looks at it, and he's like, oh, you got a manager? I don't work with managers, kid. I'm like, okay. And then he's like, you got a demo reel? I was like, well, I'm still cutting it together, you know? Uh-huh. So he's like, bring it to me when you got a chance. And then I don't think I ever did. I finally cut it on VHS, but I never gave it to that guy. 2 months later, I'm sitting in a class. My phone keeps ringing. I finally get up and go outside and answer it, and he goes, this is Joe Amato, Joe Amato Agency. I'm like, you don't answer your phone, kid? I'm like, I sorry, I didn't know it was you. He was like, you got an audition today for Hope and Faith. It's in Brooklyn. 2 o'clock. Can you be there? It's like 12:30 at this point. Whoa. I have to take like 5 trains to get there. I'm like, sure. So I go down there and I ended up booking it. I thought it was a soap opera. I'd never heard of it, but it was a comedy show.
Yeah.
That was my first television show.
How cool. So did you get a pretty meaty role on that show?
I played office courier.
Well, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah,
there you go.
Start at the bottom.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that in everything that you do, I think, you know, and some, like some people think you can just kind of like get there, you know, it's like overnight success, but it's not like that.
Yeah.
You got to start at the bottom, you got to pay your dues, you know. Nobody's going to hand you like the top job just because you're you, you know.
Right. It's actually sad when that happens. I've seen it happen, and then if you get that right off the bat and then you don't book another job after, you know, the bar has been set so high and you're like, oh, this is easy, you know.
Yeah, right. Wow. And then, so you had a manager, right? So you got, did you have to get an agent and stuff? So,
well, just freelance there. So right. I get calls and then from the manager, and they would say I would have a different agent for each audition.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. You see, yeah. Because I'm interested how people get started and stuff, and you were doing that in New York.
Yeah.
So at that point, what did you do? Did you decide to move to California eventually, or did you do something else in between?
Yeah, I moved out to L.A. in about 2005, which would have been my senior year. I left second semester senior year. I think a housing thing. I was going to move into an apartment or something with some guys, and it didn't pan out. And then I was like, what am I even doing here?
Right, yeah, yeah. At that point, how long had you been in New York?
About 4 years.
4 years,
you know, but
yeah.
I started going up from Delaware, so maybe
right.
Five
but that's
years.
Enough, right?
That's enough. I feel like
Delaware.
Yeah, you got to have a ton of money to live in New York comfortably. This was before Lyft and Uber, and taxis were expensive, so you have to take the subway. And I was on 242nd Street, so I'd have to take like an hour train ride just to get into the city.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah, crazy, right? Well, we have our drives too, but we don't have a train, you know.
Yeah.
But it's pretty, and it's pretty expensive here too. You know, people move here, they go, wow. But we do have some pockets where it's more affordable and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and you get more space, you get more bang for your buck.
Exactly, that's true. Because there, I mean, my God, you live in like really small apartments in Manhattan, right?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Unless you're like very rich.
The good thing about it is, though, I think if I did actually live in the city. And I didn't have to commute to the city. If you lived in the city, it forces you to go out because your apartments are so crappy. You're like, I don't want to be here. I'll just go out and socialize, which is a better option.
Yeah, right.
Here you're comfortable. You're home. You're like, someone invites you to something that's like 2 miles away. And you're like, I don't know.
Too much.
That's far. Too much traffic.
That's too much traffic.
That's true. We do that, right? Wow, that's true. But here, everywhere you go, you have to take an hour at least in traffic, you know.
Yeah.
But and they do say we spend like several days every year, right? Just sitting in traffic.
Yeah, but you know, as long as you have good music or a good podcast or LA talk radio.
Ah, there you go. You see, but you're right. You know, you put your music on. You don't focus really on the fact that you're sitting in traffic.
Yeah.
And I realized, too, that's the key, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, almost every day I take the freeway to go see my parents, and it's, like, the same every day, you know, the same traffic, the same this. And I thought, how do I deal with this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I realized, you know, let me put on some music, you know.
Audiobooks, podcasts.
Yeah, whatever, you know. Yeah. Just or get on the phone, talk to somebody, you know. And yeah, do something, you
make
know.
Make use of your time.
Yeah, because people don't really. I mean, when they cut in front of you, when they do stupid things, they don't do it to you, you know. And that's why I don't take it personally. I don't really get pissed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to know how to deal with this thing.
Of course.
You know, because and I was reading like an entire book on like traffic. You know how traffic behaves, how we behave in traffic. And one thing he said is that, you know, there's no other situation where people are thrust, so many of them, into the same place.
Mm-hmm.
It's so impersonal because you don't even see the people. You only see the cars, right? And if you can communicate, it's only by, you know, through looking at them or something.
Sure.
And that's it. So people don't know how the fuck to behave. And that's why we have such a mess.
Yeah.
You know, and people get angry at each other and stuff like that. New York is not so much like that because you walk a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You
a lot
don't
of
drive.
Walking in New York.
Yeah. So that's why we have this all this road rage and shit. You know, it's like, wow. So when you decided to move to L.A., had you been here before? I mean, did you know what you're moving to?
I had been here before. I came out here in 1 year to do an Aflac commercial. I think that was my first time here. Was
really?
With Gilbert Gottfried back when he was still doing this.
So you did a commercial with him?
I did. Yeah, it was actually the only, I think it was one of the only ones that he was actually in. Usually he just voiced the voice of the duck. But this one, he was in. He came into a pet store and wanted to return the duck for some reason. And I played the store clerk.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. But let me ask you this. They say there's a lot of a lot of money in commercial. Is that true?
Well, there's residual income, which is nice. But if you add all the hours that you sit in your car listening to podcasts, driving to and from auditions, and factor in all the ones you don't get, I'm probably getting paid less than my gardener.
Right, I know what you mean.
Average per hour.
Well, if you own a business, you're in the same place, man. You probably earn less than the fucking janitor, you know?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, people don't understand that. It's not easy, you know?
Yeah.
It's not easy, yeah. Very cool, but it got you through some time in your career and everything, which was cool. So at that point now, you moved to L.A., and then you decided you're going to move beyond commercials.
Yeah, fortunately there was a lot more film and television in L.A., so...
So you started pursuing that direction?
Yeah.
And what's the first thing to do? Did you have to get an agent?
Yes.
And how do they select you? I mean, based on what? If they like you and stuff?
I guess. I had a few commercials on the air at the time in New York. So it was difficult to leave because I was like, wow, I'm doing well here, so why would I leave? But I knew I had to in order to do what I wanted to do.
Right.
And then I got with an agency that took me across the board because I was like, okay, he can make money in commercials. Sure, we'll take you for theatrical. So that was how I weaseled my way in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool, man. So you see, there's always like ways to like approach the industry, right? I mean, you can come from many different directions. And you got to find the right one. So you connected with people that could actually get you working and everything. And so what was the next step for you? Did you book any TV eventually? How did that happen?
I did. I think maybe one of the
get a little closer to the mic
so I
can hear you.
Sorry.
No, you keep like getting far.
These chairs
from me.
Are so comfortable. I just want to be back in.
I know. Well, you're working right now.
That's right. That's right. Okay. What was the question?
Okay. The question is, so you eventually got into television?
Yes.
Okay. So how does that happen
for someone? One of the first shows I did was Drake and Josh.
Oh, really? On Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
I saw something that you're making a documentary about the old days of Nickelodeon.
Yes.
Okay. Talk to me about that because I'm a Nickelodeon kid. I would stay home on Fridays and watch SNICK and Are You Afraid of the Dark? And
yeah.
Right, and I loved it too.
The guy from Double Dare, or what
yes.
would you do?
Mark Summers.
Yeah, Mark Summers.
We interviewed him. He was wonderful.
Salute Your Shorts.
And Salute Your Shorts. We've interviewed Michael Ray Bauer and Danny Cooksey. That was
Pete and Pete. I feel like you could have been Pete and Pete.
I know, right? I was with Danny Tamborelli. He's one of the Petes. I was with his manager for years in New York. And I also auditioned for All That many moons ago.
I love All That. I was like, Lori Beth Denberg was like everything to me. Like, I think All That, that was like a kid SNL.
Yeah.
I wanted to like be on TV because of that show.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
see,
I was like, I
Lori Beth Denberg was your Macaulay Culkin.
She really was.
Right. So we're talking like 20 years ago or so, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I guess.
That's the time, because that's when my kids were kids.
Yeah.
And I remember watching Nickelodeon with them all the time, you know? Cat, dog, and right.
This is
and
before then, that.
Is it before that?
Yeah.
Prior to that, is sort of this golden era.
Chunk of time and
chunk.
Because
early
I remember
90s.
All that and all that. That's what I'm saying. Early 90s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but Cat, dog was like later. That was like a little bit later.
Yeah.
Okay.
That came out later.
What about the Rugrats and stuff?
Little bit. This was all post like Hey Dude, Salute Your Shorts, Pete and Pete, Welcome Freshman.
So that, so that all came right before that.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So you're talking late 80s then.
Kind of, but like very tail end of the, but like early 90s.
Early 90s, okay, yeah.
The golden age of Nickelodeon.
Gotcha. Totally. Yeah.
Okay, go on.
So we just realized that there was this golden era in time, and we just got all these folks together and interviewed them all, Mark Summers and all the guys from All That, and Graham Yost, who created Hey Dude, and he's gone on to Justified and stuff, and Steve Slafkin, who created Salute Your Shorts. And we just interviewed the other day Geraldine Laybourne, who was the creator of it all.
The thing is if they could bring back any of those shows and people would watch them now.
Yeah. Clarissa Explains It All.
Oh, my God. I loved Clarissa Explains It All.
Yeah. great shows.
That's amazing.
All just know? Great shows.
So, and those were all live action shows. You're not talking about the cartoons?
Most of them. There were a couple cartoons in that era. So Ren and Stimpy.
Oh my God, Ren and Stimpy. My parents used to like, they were like, they didn't realize like how dirty of the, like if you watch the Ren and Stimpy now, it's so perfect. It's like
really?
Adult humor.
And they had this on Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
I believe they fired one of the guy who created that because he was getting too dirty.
Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah. If you watch some of this stuff, you're like, I can't believe they showed this to kids.
That's it. They would get away with things back then because it was so new. And
this
you
is like
could.
Sexual drug references. Yeah. I mean, it's just like.
God. So we keep the documentary pretty positive, but there are some great stories in there. So
yeah,
it's called The Orange Years. We have a website, theorangeears.com.
That was the best time in television. I'm
best.
Telling you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why
amazing.
Are they called The Orange Years?
Just
Nickelodeon's
orange. Nickelodeon's
like
color is orange.
Color yeah. And just like. Yeah. Probably,
right.
Yeah.
And I love orange, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have color. It in the logo. So there you go. Wow, very cool. So you got involved with Nickelodeon and everything, right?
Yeah.
And so what? They were casting you on different shows? And but were you like employed by Nickelodeon?
No. I just did that one show for Nickelodeon, and then I came back around and.
Are they redoing helped. All that? Is that a rumor?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but.
I'm like casting.
Yeah, great show. Lori Beth Denberg. She's so funny. We interviewed her. We interviewed Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell from Good Burger. And Kenan was on all that, and now he's on SNL. Mm-hmm.
And Kel's a stand-up comic. He performs all around town.
Yeah. He's so like this is all for your film, right?
All for the film, yes.
Wow.
And what about Amanda Bynes?
I
did
think
you ever try
reaching
out to her?
That's who I was going
to
call.
We didn't because she was kind of right after the Orange Years.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, like, exactly.
Ask Ashley.
Yeah. That's the time, yeah, when all I was that. Watching them. She was with Drake, right? And they did this.
No, she was
No?
With,
she had a show with Drake, too, didn't she? I thought she did.
Amanda she was called, Bynes. She had a, it was a spinoff called Ask, or The Amanda Show.
The Amanda Show, Show yeah.
The Amanda Show,
from
right.
From All That.
That right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was because she had a segment.
I remember that, but what do I care? It's all mixed in my mind.
She
you
did
know?
Say something
the kids
really
were watching all these
crazy
shows.
About Drake and her one of her body parts, but that's nothing to do with being.
Then they grew up and she started starring in movies, and now she's sort of gone, right? I mean, did you get a chance to talk to. Oh, she came
kinda
after.
This,
she
like,
came
after. She kind of had this, like, mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drug problem.
Yeah, I remember that.
Parents
yeah.
controlling
remember?
Her
yeah.
finances.
And who knows where she is now. You know?
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
around.
So are you going to... So you covered about, what, the years in the 90s pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So, you had memories from this, right?
Yeah.
But what drew you to that? Why did you want to make an entire doc based on that?
Just because there's like this certain age. I won't ask you your age, but we're like, you know.
Were you stuck?
Yeah. Where are you stuck? It's like really this 5 to 8 year period of people that enjoyed that era. And I think a lot of it had to do with, I don't know, the woman who created it. She turned it into a company with 5 employees into an $8 billion empire.
What was her name?
Geraldine Laybourne.
Mm-hmm.
And she went on to co-create Oxygen Network.
Really? So she started this from scratch, huh?
Pretty much. There was something called Cube Network prior to that, and there was some things tied in there, but it's all explained in the doc.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, that's why you're here, to tease us a little bit about the movie.
Yeah.
No, so the movie we're talking about is The Orange Years. Is it available for people to see?
It will be. We're editing it right now.
Okay.
So it will be, hopefully, by early next year.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And how long is the film? Is it, like, full feature?
It'll probably be 80 or 90 minutes, yeah, full feature length. We've probably interviewed about 30 different people at least.
They started to replay a lot of the old Nickelodeon stuff at late night on Late Night Nick. I don't know if you've caught any of it. They were like running Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes and like a bunch of other things. But I mean, I just think they should just run it all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like late night you know, Adult Snick or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're just great shows. I think what it was, Geraldine sort of explained, that they gave the creators of the show so much freedom, and they had a rule that the executives were only allowed to give them 3 notes per episode, and that was it. So, you know, in a lot of other networks, you're just getting constantly too many notes from too many suits, and right. that just takes away from your creative ideas.
Creativity. So there was a lot of creativity in Nickelodeon.
I mean, the thing was, it's like, you can't look, I mean, there's a lot of the Nickelodeon shows they have now, it's just like, it, I feel like the shows that we grew up with, like, you could relate to, like, the content that was being put out there, the kids looked just like me and you. Even then, they were good at using diversity and showing different backgrounds and highlight, they had women all over in all of their content, and now it's just like everyone is beautiful, and you know, the shows are all just like about, you know, affluent kids, and it's like, you know, this is not childhood, this is I don't know, I just think that the content they have now is shit. You know,
well, a lot of it is, I mean, it sort of reflects the
culture, but it's also, but this was, you know, they were creating content before, you know, the internet and social media, and they were, so they had to force, they were forced to write, you know, for kids, real kids, you know, who had real childhoods.
Geraldine told a story. She, the very first episode of Clarissa Explains It All came in, and she was like, there's something wrong with this show. And she was like, was it a man director? And she was like, they said, yeah. And she said, no, it needs to be a woman director.
Yeah.
And you, and then they redid it, I think, and it, and all those, you know, it just made such a difference.
Yeah.
Because
wow, so it's a different perspective on things.
Yeah, right. She was a woman. Her assistant, Ann Sweeney, was a woman who's now, I think, the chairman of Netflix. She hired a lot of women in the executive positions. And
oh, my gosh, I loved the relationship between Clarissa and her mom.
Yeah.
And just, like, how her brother, Ferguson. Who's such a but just like an annoying, the typical annoying little brother, and then her best friend would just climb up in the window.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, my dad would never let some guy just like climb, but that was the thing. He was just sneaking it, you know, like it was just funny.
Yeah.
It was like real life.
Yeah, it was supposed to be television for kids by kids, you know, the opposite of what Disney was doing, which was so sort of gentrified and beautiful people, and they would bring in all different types of people.
Yeah.
Right.
It's great.
And mostly the casting is from Southern California, right?
I think so, although they shot a lot of it in Orlando. They were
This is back. Yeah, they filmed a lot of it. They had a huge Nickelodeon Studios, Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that at the end of it, just seeing.
Yeah, Universal.
I mean, also, I loved Pete and Pete so much because that show really talked about a lot about, like, adolescent issues. Like, I remember there was this one episode that just stuck with me, as like, one of the Petes was going in a car ride with his dad, and he was like, I don't know what to talk to my dad about. And I remember him, like, coming up with, like, because he was just saying, like, I don't have anything in common with this old guy. I'm a young kid.
Right.
I'm spending a lot of time with my dad.
Yeah.
And so he came up with flashcards of questions to, like, ask his dad in the car. And it just stuck with me for some reason. Like, that's
I
so
did
funny.
That today, actually. I didn't know what I was going to talk about with Sam, so I brought some flashcards
there
with
you
me.
Go, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about what to talk about here,
caller.
Man. We'll keep you talking and talking and talking. Don't worry about it.
But and they don't do, like, I just feel like it's just not the same. I mean, I can't even follow along with the writing in the shows now, you know. It just
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Bill Parks, an actor. We'll also talk about your music, but before we get back to the film, I'm just still interested in the intervening years, because you've been doing a lot of work, right? TV and stuff as you moved along. I mean, you've been here for a while now.
I have.
So how's your career growing? I see you've been on American Horror Story, for example, right?
Yep.
So what was that like?
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I did an episode with Emma Roberts most recent season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was great. She was nice. And I don't know if I can tell this, but
no, don't.
I think, okay.
When in doubt, keep it out.
That can now be applied in so many.
Now I need to know.
I know. I just made it up, but okay.
Hey, you should patent that.
Yeah.
When in doubt, keep it out.
Right.
There you go. Now, also, they're talking about your role as Chicken Truitt on Heart of Dixie.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. I don't know anything. Is this an ongoing show or something?
It was until it got canceled.
Really? I was going to say that sounded like...
How long did it run for?
It ran for 4 seasons. And then I guess Rachel Bilson got pregnant. And then I think that was sort of part of the reason. They just were like, all right, we're good. We got enough to get it in syndication.
Really?
So, yeah.
What was that like? Was that like a major part for you in the show?
I mean, it was a recurring role, and I played part of the Truitt brothers. There were a couple of us, and we would wreak havoc on the town of Bluebell.
Nice.
So yeah. Was it like, what type was it? A comedy or?
I guess it was a dramedy. You know, the show started out where Rachel Bilson was like a sort of a doctor who'd moved from the big city fish out of water story down to Bluebell, Alabama, to this small town. And I think the first episode, I never saw it, but apparently it was more like ER, where she was like doing surgery or something on people, and then it just morphed into this sort of lighthearted comedy dramedy show.
But 4 seasons, that's quite a few episodes, though, right? What, like 40 or something?
Yeah, probably more than that, because most of the seasons probably had 22 episodes.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
Don't quote me on that.
Okay, but that's more than the 13 episodes.
Right, the last season only had 10 episodes, just because I think they were doing like the bare minimum to be able to get it syndicated.
So is it being syndicated now?
I think it airs in... Yeah. France or Germany or
okay. Did you so you said you never saw the you never watched it?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Wow. You'd be curious. Is it that you didn't want to see yourself?
That's part of it. No, yeah. I probably watched most of the scenes I was in. But I don't. Who's got the time? There's so many shows on the air.
That's true, right?
To follow from start to finish, a whole.
I know people commit to that show. Stuff. I don't know how they can do it.
Maybe. I mean, I'm glad they do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be working.
That's true, right? That's awesome. Now let's talk a little bit about your music also, right?
Yeah.
You've been, so all along you wanted to act and stuff. Did you have the musical side in you too from early on in your life?
I did, yeah. I've played the banjo since I was probably 10.
Wow. What appealed to you about the banjo?
I just liked the sound of it. I had a record from this guy named Michael Cooney a long time ago when I was a kid, and I was like, that's cool. I want to learn that. And
really?
So my mom, the great woman that she is, drove me 45 minutes to Malvern, PA to go meet with this guy who taught me how to play the banjo.
Wow. Yeah. And you became good at it.
I became mediocre at it.
But then you moved on to... did you start writing your own music and stuff as you were going along?
Not as much. We do have some originals in the band I play in. We're called The Fancies. Right now we play a lot of covers.
Which is fun, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love covers, you know?
Me too.
It's cool because that way you also know the songs. And, so it's not like, when the new bands start to lay some original music on you and it's terrible, you know. Although some of it is great, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Fancies band, and you guys perform what, around town? Do you go around the country at all?
Mostly Southern California. Over the summer we did a gig out in Idlewild. We did one down in Rolling Hills. We did one... in Redondo at the Shade Hotel. And then the last one we did was at the Budweiser Brewery, which is in Van Nuys, very close to here. I didn't even know it was there, but right off the 405, they've got a huge brewery, and they had a big party, and they had us come play.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. Yeah. So what type of music?
Bluegrass, Americana, country rock.
Really?
Yeah, it's all different, depending on what musicians show up for that particular gig, you know.
So you're kind of drawn to a southern type of thing. I mean, and you're from Delaware, right?
Yeah,
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, maybe in a previous life you were in the South.
I think so.
Right?
I think so. Yeah.
But that's awesome. So, I mean, I'd love to hear some of the music, but, you know, what can you do? Well, tell people where they can
a website that's down at the moment called thefanciesband.com, F-A-N-C-I-E-S, fanciesband.com. We've got a bunch of videos on YouTube. And on December 10th, we'll be at Molly Malone's in L.A.
I performed there.
Yeah, you were just there,
oh, yeah?
Right?
Yeah, I did stand
What'd
up
you
there.
Do? You did stand up mm-hmm. there? Nice.
Yeah. So cool. So you get around town and stuff.
Yeah.
You did stand up for a while in New York?
I did. I did it for 3 years in New York.
What'd you think?
In New York, it is definitely easier.
Oh, it's you get paid there.
You get paid. You
can hit like five spots and what you know.
Yeah, because you can just... You know, you can walk or take a quick cab ride from one place to the other, and you can be in five different clubs in one night. Right. Whereas here, you know, you got to choose one right. destination for the night, you know.
Right.
Yeah. That's
so you mean they actually go from one club to the other?
Oh, yeah. And you can, and they do.
Oh, New York, you can make a living. You can make you can live off money. You'll have to take other jobs during the day, but you can make money. It's not like here where I go and perform at Flappers and I do 7 minutes and I don't pay for that.
And that's it. And, you know, that's the only comedy club in Burbank. And then... You know, you're not going to go over the hill to go to the improv. It's just you're Flappers for the night. That's it.
That's true.
Well, you do. I mean, that's the thing. You do that. You start at Flapper. I mean, you have to, but you can't, like, stay for both shows. You know what I mean? Like, which is what you're supposed to do.
So. Yeah. And then, you know, by the time you, I mean... You either have to not drink and drive yourself, mm-hmm. or you drink and then the amount you have to pay out to Lyft and Uber, you're in the hole.
There goes rent.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's cool, good because you have different streams of revenue and stuff like that. It's cool, you know.
Yeah,
you're spreading yourself in different directions, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the way to do it, because you want to be in entertainment, you know. You can't sit in an office 9 to 5, that's for sure, right?
Yeah.
So you might as well expand yourself in different directions.
Yeah, so the show on December 10th at Molly Malone's is actually a show for charity for a group called FreeFrom.org. It's provides safety for survivors of domestic violence and their children.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's a fundraiser, and this will be probably the second or third year these guys have put it on for different charities. This year, this is the charity FreeFrom.org, and it's also a charity tribute show. So the songs will all be from artists that have passed in the past year. So Tom Petty, Chuck Berry. Glenn Campbell.
That's true, huh? Sarah. Wow, I totally forgot everybody that passed this year. Who else? Can you think of somebody else?
Greg Allman, the Allman Brothers.
That's true.
We're doing some Allman Brothers songs.
And then the other guy, the guy that killed himself, what was his name?
Oh, yeah, from Black Hole Sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Won't you come?
Exactly.
Chris Cornell.
Yeah. Chris Cornell is the name, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. A lot going on in your life, man.
Yeah.
So what's so the film again? Once it's done, how are you going to distribute it? Where are people going to be able to see it?
For the Orange Years, probably Netflix or an outlet similar to that. The last film I produced was called Ghost Heads, about Ghostbuster fans. And
I love that you're producing all these films about things that I love.
Yeah, so I'm sort of pigeonholing myself into producing sort of.
But tell me something. Wouldn't Nickelodeon take it? Would they show this?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not really critical of them, is it?
No, not at all. Yeah. We
no, I feel like you would see this on Netflix or something.
Yeah, because it's sort of like Bronies, where it's sort of about that subculture.
Yeah, it's a culture piece, feel like.
Right, and plus, you're aiming it at adults probably more than...
Well, yeah, everybody now is adults, I guess, that was a kid when that was on, unfortunately. Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Somehow time just makes us older, you know?
Yeah, in L.A., it's even more so because it's just like one big long summertime here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only time you know it's autumn in L.A. is Starbucks has a pumpkin spice latte.
Or when girls start wearing Uggs.
Yeah.
Like, it's that time.
It's that time. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. I mean, I'm sure it's cliche to hear it now, but it's just so weird to, like, you know, see Santa Claus on people's front lawn with palm trees in the background and the sun shining. You're like, this is not the way Christmas was.
You're like, I'm sweating.
Yeah.
It's Christmas.
What is going on?
Nothing worse than a sweaty Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bill Parks, before we go, I want to ask you something that I've asked some guests, but I decided I'm going to do it with every guest if I remember. And that is, the word God, what does that bring to mind for you?
Oh, corruption.
So you equate God with religion, right?
Yeah.
You don't see a separation.
I'm a recovering Catholic. You know, you grow up on the East Coast. That's what you do. You go to midnight mass and blah, blah, blah. And then you realize, okay, this is a bunch of hogwash. I think that I do believe in the universe and the power of the universe. And I believe in the golden rule, you know, do unto others. But I don't believe in organized religion, even Buddhism, because I feel like the moment that you put a label on it, you say, oh, I'm a Buddhist, and you're not, you're already drawing a line and creating separation.
Yeah. Right, right. So, that's true, right? So, yeah, and that's what religion has done, because in every religion where you look at it, it's like it preaches that we're better than others, right?
Yeah, we have knowledge that you don't have, or...
Yeah, we have a certain connection to God that you don't, right? Yeah. Things like that. And that's why religion has turned so many people off to the concept of God, you know?
Yeah.
And I think because they, to me, religion hijacked the concept of God. You know what I'm saying? Because so many people consider God in so many different ways other than the way it's presented
it's
in the Bible. You
used
know?
In like... like you were saying, like I'm a God person, you know, and like this, what's going on in the news with Roy Moore, and it's simply because he claims he's a Christian, that people are willing to like either look past or forgive him or...
Well, that would be deplorable, you know, and
but that's,
if they
that's
do
what's
that,
happening.
Yeah.
And I don't, that's where I, the nasty part of organized religion, where it's like holier than thou, you know, I'm God's gift to... Right. Whatever the Senate or whatever,
and
you know?
They've been nominated by God to tell us
exactly.
And
I was it's fucked up because if you really just want to, you know, feel terrible about yourself, just spend just any amount of time on Twitter,
yeah,
and
right.
you'll go down this rabbit hole of. I don't think they're real people. I think a lot of them are bots, you know, that are just like, I saw like a comment that was like, we need to put God back into the law. I'm like, there's no American, like we are born with separation between church and state. You grew up knowing this, like it's
right.
no secret.
Right. So, you
so
don't
to me, it's like, this has to be like a Russian bot or something. But the fact that this information is being retweeted at a mass rate of like, we need to put God back into the, you know, into our, I'm like, dude, this is just scary.
Yeah, America is a pretty religious country, you know, we don't admit that, but
yeah.
But the thing
very
is
religious.
It is in certain places, and it's not in a lot. Like, you'll go to like bigger cities like New York and Los Angeles in like, in the city, I mean, you'll meet a lot of people who are like, religion doesn't play any role
that's
in my
true,
life.
But
then you go to the South and like deep, small pockets, small towns, and other states, and it's religion, it's God and football, you know.
Right, like, but I don't mean that. What I mean is, this country was actually founded by people that were religious, that ran away from persecution so they could come here and practice their religion the way they thought.
True.
So you have to remember, this country was created based on trying to retain religion, but they were so smart that they realized you got to separate it from politics, and that's the great thing we have about this country, I think, you know.
Yeah, that is great.
And
I just hate that it says one nation under God.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just like, I don't identify with that. I don't identify.
But that's the point, is I think they meant God is the way it means to each one. And that's why I bring it up. And that's why I asked you about it, because it means different things to different people, you know. And that's the thing. And so thank you for being honest and sharing with us that.
Yes.
Bill Parks, tell people how they can find you. Social media.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, Bill Parks, Twitter, but that just is Instagram feeds that go directly to that of pictures. BillParks.net, TheOrangeEars.com, TheFancysBand.com.
So he's all over the place. Just Google it.
There just Google.
Wait, okay, you know a ton of people I know.
Oh, do we have mutual friends?
You know Avital Ash?
Yes, Avital.
I love her.
She's wonderful.
Wow, this sounds Israeli. Guys, we don't have time.
Oh, it's a show over.
But we've asked
you about Avital. I love you.
Exactly. You can ask him after the show. All right, everybody. Thank you all. Bill, thank you again. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
All right.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.